Welcome to Voices from the Dales, published by the Dales Countryside Museum in Hawes, with me, Andrew Fagg. Series 3, Swaledale Farmer, is supported by the National Lottery Heritage Fund through the T Swale Naturally Connected programme. This is Episode 2, Eager to Learn. High up on Cliffgate Road in Upper Swaledale on a dowly day, I couldn't see the meadows in the valley below. And yet soon spring will be here, and they'll burst with colour and scent and hum with insects. Muka Village famously has its coronation meadows, which is why initially it may come as a surprise to hear what Swaledale sheep breeder Christine Clarkson from Muka had to say. When I first spoke to her last summer, I asked how she'd come into contact with the T Swale programme. It had been when T Swale farming officer Krista Nelson knocked on the door.
I've kept hearing bits about it, but it's only been sort of the last month or so that I've really had a direct interaction with it. And Krista came out because I don't know, to my shame, I don't know the wildflowers because we never learnt that. I was never taught by my parents and we never learnt it at school. And I have said to Krista, I think it'd be great that we get workshops going for the kids, because if they want to farm, which might not, I think it's going to be really important that they know about the nature side as well. You know, it would be a real asset for them to know what, you know, the wildflowers, which is, I am trying to learn.
Well, I'm just the same as you, Christine. I grew up not knowing the names of the flowers, or if I did, they would be the nicknames. And I didn't know either, and it's been one of the great joys of my sort of adulthood to come back and learn them.
Yeah, yeah. And I'd like to know the wildflowers so that when you have a knowledge to tell people, look what I've got. If you don't know what they're called, there's some that it's just a bit of grass to me. You know, I didn't know that grass, or that's one of the rare ones. And having that knowledge as a farmer, I think it would be useful. And it's interesting as well. But I think in hill farming, it's useful to know. I suppose knowledge gives you a little bit of power.
I was really struck by what Christine had said. Around that time, I was finishing Series 2 of Voices from the Dales on dialect, listening to all the museum's recordings of Kit Calvert. In 1977, when speaking about the poet John Thwaite, Kit Calvert said this about Dales folk and nature.
His nature poems, the blue tit, the kingfisher and lakey lambs, he had some beautiful thoughts in him. Thoughts which you would not get off the general Dalesman, because the general Dalesman's harder, you know. I don't care about a blessed kingfisher or a blue tit and a robin. They're all part and parcel of life, and I pass by, I think as much of a robin as a will of a stoned gutter, the average Dalesman.
The average Dalesman will think as much of a robin as a stony gutter, said Kit. That's not necessarily true of the other hill farmers you'll hear in this series, but it will ring true for many local farmers, for whom nature is just part and parcel of the whole. Time to get outside. Christine took me east through Muka Village, over the bridge and into a 3-acre riverside field designated a site of special scientific interest. She receives an annual stewardship payment from government for managing it as a hay meadow. The sheep had been taken out in the May, and now the field was full of grasses and flowers setting seed.
We're in the field known locally as the Piggery Field, and it's a SSSI meadow. It's dying back, it needs cutting, but because of the weather we haven't been able to get it yet.
How useful is this to you and your enterprise?
Yeah, it's very useful. Very useful in spring. And we get the hay off this.
And is it useful from an economic point of view as well? What sort of payment does this field command?
A couple hundred quid maybe, I don't know, because it's not very big. But your sort of land management on meadows is it's probably the most stringent it actually interfering with your life in a way, because your pastures, yes, you agree you keep less sheep, but with hay timing, when they don't allow you to cut on a certain date, you know, you can't go on holiday till it's cut.
So this is already a place rich in nature owing to the way it's been farmed.
Yeah.
Do you have any plans for it, to change it, to add things in?
Not really. I don't know when exactly it was designated a triple SI, but we've had various people, you know, they've put prescription on us since it was designated. And over the years, various people have come out and they've all said it hasn't become any more wildflower abundant. You know, and maybe if anything, it's gone backwards. I'd maybe point out, well, that's since you took over the management of it. I think sometimes cutting when a field's ready to be cut, rather than a farming calendar isn't by a date, because every year's different season wise. You know, this year we had an early spring, so it's ready. So do the seeds do better when it's for cutting it a bit earlier some years? You know, and farmers, we wouldn't want to go when it's not ready anyway. It used to be the 1st of July and then they put it back to the 8th.
So you think those dates, those cutting dates before which you cannot cut this teca hay crop, can sometimes count against biodiversity?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Yeah, I think so. Because I think any gardener would tell you things are ripe at different times, different years. So having a set date, it doesn't work.
So no great plans for changing this, because it's already nature rich anyway.
Yep.
But it could still be, in your view, managed in a way that could make it even richer.
Yeah, I think it could be. That's why I'm keen to learn about the wildflowers. So when I walk through it, I can notice, oh, we haven't got that this year, or, oh, we have got that this year. At the moment, I'm a bit clueless. That's just a yellow flower, that's a blue flower. I don't know which ones are more significant. And I'd like to learn that, and that's where the tea swirl has helped.
Listening back to the interviews with Christine, two main themes become clear. On the one hand, she's combative, resenting being told how to farm, when to cut the meadow, for example. On the other, she's keen to take advice and change with the times. These themes come out strongly in the next remarkable story, for which we had a prop, a letter. First, though, hear her spell out the importance of public money being paid to farmers.
The stewardships do make you think about nature and the flowers and everything. You know, they do. They're a good thing, and they're vital for hill farming, because in this deal, without payments of any description, I don't think any of the farmers could survive, even the ones that own their own farms, without sheep prices going through the roof, which no one wants, because people won't be able to afford to eat. So you kind of don't want to be tied to these schemes. You don't want to be tied to the government's money. But I think you have to be, in order for the deal to survive and thrive, we need it. The farmers, you know, need it.
Stewardship payments in England began to be introduced from the late 1980s, when ESAs, environmentally sensitive areas, were established. During the first interview, Christine told me much land in Swaledale was designated ESA, but not the top of Kisden Hill, part of her farm, then run by her dad. When I returned, I wanted to find out more. It is Wednesday, December the 6th. And we sat at the table again, and we're 6 months further down the line. We have Sam Rose eating the dinner. And Christine, one of the great stories that you told in July was about a letter from some years back about the ecological importance, or otherwise, of Kisden, which is where we're about to go. Can you refresh that story? And just, we sat in front of a letter here, and explain the contents of it.
Yeah, so I dug out these letters. They were from the early 90s when the ESA, the Environmental Sensitive Area Schemes, first came around. And the very top of Kisden, which is the bit we refer to as a moor, and some of the other allotments alongside weren't included in that environmentally sensitive area. And by this, it was my dad and six farmers, it sounds like, that the land wasn't included. And they've gone to William Hague, who was our MP at the time, to question why they weren't included, because they felt they were, you know, important. And when they've got a letter back, William Hague looked into it, and they've got a letter back from the Ministry of Agriculture, Fisheries and Food, and it actually states that their land is not of sufficient environmental interest to be included in the scheme. Now, our land that is referred to in this is probably the bit that probably now, 30 years on, which isn't a long time, they would now say is the most important, because it contains peat and heather. So it's a blink of an eye, and MAF and now DEFRA, they do tend to change their mind quite a lot.
I can see the date, 13th of March 1992, and I can see it's signed by the Baroness Trumpington. And indeed it says, "I am afraid we have concluded that their land," so that's
the six farmers, including us,
"is not of sufficient environmental interest to be included in the scheme." And that's referring to where we're about to go, Kisden, which
top.
Is the hill that everybody sees in Upper Swaledale.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. For that not to be included then, and for it now to be that particular parcel to be, you know, the most important bit, or certainly they'd say, because it was seemed to be all about meadows then, and now it's much more about the moorland. And that's where the sort of flim-flam from one... We do farm the well. It's not in our interest to farm the land, so you're knackering it up. I'm currently stood right almost at the highest point of Kisden, looking on, across onto what we call our moor, but it's a big allotment. And yeah, you can hear the grouse there in the background. And at the moment, you know, we have no sheep up here. We're in a countryside stewardship scheme, and so we have agreed not to put sheep on during the winter months. So it needs preserving. I think it can work hand in hand with agriculture. I think, you know, it should be a balance.
And through the T-Swale project, you've been going on a training course, is that right, to work out just what peat there is here and what ecological benefits that there are?
Yeah. So we can apply for a little bit of funding. You don't get a lot. And you, for 3 years, you sample the peat depth and you record it on an app. So I went on a workshop to sort of learn how to do it. We haven't applied for it yet. We'll have to apply for it.
And that's relatively straightforward new skill to learn, or not?
I thought it was relative. You'd have to know how to use a smartphone and use the app. I thought it was fairly straightforward.
How do you view it? Clearly your passion is for the sheep, for the farming. But so is this something that you think, oh, well, I just kind of have to do it these days? Or is it something that you are enthusiastic about?
It's a bit of both, because first and foremost, there is, you know, there is the farming and the sheep and, you know, the Upper Dales community, which I think isn't given enough. The agricultural, the rural communities, you take farming out of the equation, then there really is nothing left apart from second homes and tourism. It's just a play park. And I think it's, there just isn't enough weight put on the communities. And farming is a big part of that. But I'm eager to learn.
Thank you to Christine Clarkson for her thoughts on farming and, as she so neatly put it, the nature side. In the next episode, we're going down Swaledale to the Ridleys Swaledale Sheep Breeders at Kixwith. Thank you for listening.